Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
So this morning we are celebrating, we are giving thanks, we are honoring each other, and then we are participating in the work of running this place we love. In fact, we won't extinguish the chalice until after the annual meeting. It's encompassed in the service. And then finally, when we're done, we are going to picnic and party together outside because, this is what being part of a community like this means. We see and honor the unique individuals that make up our congregation. We take our responsibilities seriously and do the hard work that must be done. And then we celebrate life and being together joyously and happily. Around Anderson this morning, you can see a couple of the remnants of our year. There's the big piece of paper with the indications of our highest commitments from the youth service earlier in the spring. There's the lighthouse that the children built during a time for all ages that reminds us of our collective highest ideals. There are the New Year's promises all along the back that you all wrote. On the walls are reminders of this first year of ministry together. But held within these walls are memories of decades of Unitarian Universalist aspirations. Memories of the commitment to community, of the dreams of what this congregation can be, of the desire for justice, of possibility and promise and hope and joy and care. This morning, we lift up our gratitude for this place and its people, for each of us, and we recommit ourselves to planting and tending and nurturing so that generations to come might know this place and the promise and the memories that it offers. Now, if you will join me, it is the time that we take in our service every Sunday for meditation and reflection. This morning, as we are gathering to celebrate, we are also gathering with gratitude and thankfulness in our hearts and on our minds. And so as you breathe, close your eyes if it's comfortable, we will offer some gratitude together. I will invite you into some time of silence, and after some moments of silence, Ron will play us a musical piece for our meditation time as well. This morning, we offer thanks for the community of caring that we are part of, that holds us in times of sorrow and rejoices with us in times of triumph. And this morning, especially mindful of the cycles and changes in the lives of our fellow congregants, we give thanks for those who have died who lived lives of graciousness and gentleness and service. We give thanks for new life among us. This morning, we give thanks for the families and friends that keep us safe, that offer us compassion and hold us gently. We give thanks for the art and the music and the beauty that we share and others share with us. We give thanks for the earth that brings forth such a colorful bounty in the springtime, reminding us of the power of the cycles of nature and that all things can grow again. We give thanks for the freedom to think and feel and search for our own deepest truths. We give thanks for the responsibilities and rewards of commitment that enable us to do our best work. For all these things and so much more, we are grateful. And in the silence before the song, we each offer the gratitude that wells in us. May we never stop saying thank you. May we never forget to speak our gratefulness aloud. May we always offer our loving care and appreciation. So may it be.
I love hearing the birds.
Does anyone else love that? It's been really nice the last couple of Sundays that we've gotten to hear them. Some time ago, I stumbled on a reading titled The Church That Doesn't Matter by my colleague, the Reverend Kelly Weissman Aspruth Jackson. And I'm going to read it to you in a moment, but for those of you for whom church is a challenging word, I invite you to translate Kelly's original word to be congregation or community or society, whatever feels right for you. Reverend Kelly writes, "In the church that doesn't matter, there are no quarrels, no arguments, and no one ever says anything they regret at the meeting to discuss the sanctuary's new paint color. There is nothing to inspire such passionate intensity because none of the decisions of the church touch anyone's heart, and no one lives or dies by its choices or even feels for a moment like they might. Everything is easy as pie. In the church that doesn't matter, no one has to ask for money or even talk about it much. There's always enough to go around. There's always enough because no matter how much there is always less to do with it than that. The vision always shrinks to undermatch the means. So canvas season is always a breeze. In the church that doesn't matter, no one ever disagrees with the preacher's sermon. The music is always just fine. There's never a fight about the liturgy, not even if they do joys and sorrows, and not even if they stop doing joys and sorrows. There is never any controversy because no one ever says anything they really care about, and no one else ever seems to care. Because of this, the service is always equally inoffensive at both 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. The sounds of children during worship, the recruitment of Sunday school teachers, the compensation of professional religious educators, and the size and condition of space dedicated to religious education, none of these things are ever talked about or thought about in the church that doesn't matter. Those issues just seem to take care of themselves somehow. No one ever has to clean up in the church that doesn't matter, or figure out the old electrical system, or consult the building codes, or climb a ladder. If no one bothers to make coffee on Sunday, no one complains. And if no one greets the visitors, no one seems to mind. Everything is easier in the church that doesn't matter. The total solution to all the frustrations of congregational life requires no consultants, manuals, or webinars. Simply avoid, at all costs, meaning and purpose and anything that might lead you to either or both. Whatever you do, do not let yourself care about the people around you or the covenant you share. Yet knowing this, we still decide again and again to ask tough questions, to take real risks, to do work that needs doing, and to tell the truth. We get out of bed on Sunday morning, we answer that email, we make something imperfect but still sweet for the bake sale, and we give our time and attention to a meeting every third Thursday. We ask each other how we're doing and mean it. We make phone calls and craft projects for the first grade class. We offer our gifts, both humble and great. And we do these things, sometimes in joy and sometimes not in joy, because they are done in the service of a church that matters. I love that reading. At the end of this first congregational year together, I can say unequivocally that this is a congregation that matters. From how you care for each other here to the work you do in the world, from the passion you show for the smallest details of congregational life to the commitment you show to the wider world, this is a congregation that matters, and the work you do here matters. The Flower Communion celebrates the way that a community, when gathered, becomes a beautiful bouquet. It celebrates that each person brings special, unique gifts. And then traditionally, when you take a blossom back at the end of the Flower Communion, it celebrates that each person receives unique gifts by participating in the life of the community. Now this morning, I'm actually not going to let you take a flower back. Instead, we're going to deliver these 10 vases across the street to the share house. In part, this is practical. I'm nothing if not honest. In part, it's practical because we didn't imagine you all would want to hold a blossom through the annual meeting and then through the picnic and actually get home with it. But in fact, it's more than practical. A handful of times over the past 2 weeks, I've had occasion to talk about this congregation and to say that among the most important aspects of this congregation is its outward-facing justice nature. That innate care for the broader world and for matters of justice is something I see in you, and it's something I want to be part of continuing to encourage. And so our Flower Communion is a little bit different because it will highlight the way that when you come together, bringing your gifts and your talents and your unique selves and your commitment, you create something that is beautiful and that can be a gift to the outside world. That you can be, when you are gathered in your strength, a force for good and wonder in the wider world. So instead of a flower, this morning what we're going to give you is an envelope. You will get this in the basket. As the offering is collected, additional baskets will be passed. And in those baskets, there's an envelope for everyone. In that is a message of gratitude, along with some wildflower seeds. The seeds are a reminder that just because you give away a flower, it doesn't mean you are left flowerless. The work of planting and tending is ongoing. When you have raised a flower and given it as a gift to the world, you can go back and plant another one and raise it up and give it away. The work of a congregation, the work of a community that matters is ongoing work. When we reach the end of something, we start again on something else. Now, the cards of gratitude, each one has a written thank you from me. Each one thanks you for something that I am grateful for about this congregation. So you may get one that resonates perfectly with you as an individual. You may get one that's actually more aspirational for you as an individual. It'll just depend on chance and providence. But each and every one is a thank you that I offer sincerely to this community, to the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood. Each one recognizes something that I know to be true about this community. And so I just want to say, before we begin our offering, a thank you for a wonderful first year of partnership in our ministry. You have my deep and sincere gratitude for all of the ways that you have shared your beauty over these past months. So thank you.